So this morning I've entitled this teaching, Completed in the Great Gift of Grace. I went back and forth a number of different times on the title, but you know what? It's not really the title that matters. It's what's in a person's heart that I hope to be able to really communicate today. I wouldn't say I agonized over this teaching, but I went, and maybe you've been through this too, where sometimes things just don't flow as well as you would really like to see them flow. And you kind of go back and forth. But my heart really was, God, what message do you want me to get delivered to your people today? And I don't want it just to be me and my own strength and my own ability coming up with some kind of cute teaching and title. But, you know, you guys are special and you're God's chosen. And we all need encouragement and to be inspired at different times, that's for sure. And I know there are needs within our fellowship. And, you know, we're a very powerful group. And so maybe as part of this teaching, we'll have an opportunity to, you know, ask some people if they want to be prayed for or ministered to, or we can just join together to really see the power of God. Boy, we talk about it, huh? And we really want to see that power. Vicki was talking to a friend of ours from Oregon yesterday, and she was mentioning basically she couldn't walk for an entire year. And something was going on, and you know, a lot of these situations, you don't understand the detail of exactly what's happening, and that can be very frustrating in and of itself. But she had a very miraculous happening, and as many of you have experienced, she kind of had this warm sensation that just came from the top of her head all the way down to the bottom of her feet. And, you know, there was no question it was the energizing of the Spirit of God. It wasn't even that she was being prayed for. It was just, whatever the timing, whatever the situation, God just brought her deliverance, and there was no question about it. And she's been pain-free and able to walk since that point in time, which was pretty recently. Amen? You know, I once heard a definition of grace, and everything we receive, guys, is by grace. Amen? And it stuck with me that grace is receiving that which we don't deserve. Right? And mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. Right? And then it went on to say that it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Kind of that acronym. That we receive everything that God has to give to us. But it came as a result of the love and the goodness of God that he displayed through Jesus Christ. And many of us have understood grace as God's unmerited or undeserved favor. Amen? But does that really tell us what grace is? You know, there's only one way that we have gotten to where we are today. Although it seems at times it's been our effort, our discipline, our adherence to certain practices that have brought us to the point in our lives. But as we're going to look at and see this morning, we are who we are and where we are because of one thing, grace. You know, man's efforts, man's attempts, man's disciplines, man's attempts to prove himself to be good enough, that's kind of like the law. And what it did to people in that point in time is it proved to people their inability to really meet up to the standard by the flesh. The flesh, let's just say, and call it your ability. Okay? By your ability, you cannot tap into the power and strength of God. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. Some of these are familiar verses for sure. 1 Corinthians 15:10. And what I'm talking about, you'll see as we go on here a little bit, has been a struggle down through the church age. Matter of fact, God had an entire epistle written to Galatia, where the people were saved by grace, and then they got into the works of the flesh and in the law to try to prove to themselves or to whomever other people that they really could or try to achieve the righteousness of God through the works of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15:10, you may remember, Paul says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." See, you know, the greatest change anyone could ever experience in life comes at the moment of the new birth. Now, how much work and effort did that take? Your simple believing allowed you to experience the greatest thing that mankind could ever possibly experience. And then somehow we're not going to finish the job by our efforts, our talents, our works. We're going to... Wow. You know, it was the only thing we could do because we were helpless in proving our worth and value. Maybe you didn't have a lot of past dark secrets, dirty sins, or whatever you want to call them. Some people lived a very good life, and they were educated. They went to school. They had a good family life and that sort of thing. But the one thing that they didn't have was the freedom from the sin nature. That's what the grace of God has brought to us. You know, in Romans 3:23, it says, "We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." But here's the simple truth. We became victors at the moment of the new birth. And we can continue in victory today as we realize and recognize and walk in the grace that we have so freely received. It's not up to us to finish the work and change ourselves through our own effort. That is frustrating. And we've all at one point or another tried to do it. I remember Ken and many of us have taught, you know, how people make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to change this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And 6 weeks later, you know, you're back to doing the same old, same old. You know, the devil has been paralyzed by grace. But when we step into works and in our ability, he's having a heyday. It really speaks loudly to us that we must utilize and walk in the grace of God rather than looking at our flesh and our weakness and our sin and our lack of this and our failures and our mistakes and everything else, because that is just focusing down in the senses. God's calling is so much higher. He just so wants to lift us up and have us be able to function in the realm of the miraculous. Because each and every one of us really have the ability to heal people, to cast out devils, to do those things that God... It wasn't just Jesus who had those abilities. Each and every one of us can walk right out there today. If there's somebody in a wheelchair and God's working in your heart, you could reach down to them and say, you know, Jesus, he didn't say a lot of words. He wasn't doing a lot of formal prayers. Heavenly Father, thank you for raising this person up out of that wheelchair. And he just say, get up. I don't know if you've ever watched The Chosen. I do recommend that. It's a very good series on the life of Jesus Christ and the disciples. And kind of gives you a little different perspective of Jesus. But one of the scenes I was watching last week, he came upon a guy who was possessed and just having all sorts of issues. He just walked up and said, get out. That was it. And the spirit just bowed to the authority of Jesus Christ. And the guy was completely made whole. Now, the Pharisees didn't like that, you know, because they were always kind of hanging around on the fringe, right? Looking so that they could accuse Jesus. You know, he did it on the Sabbath. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And their hearts were just so far removed from the goodness of God. What about the healing, you know? What about the deliverance that these people experienced? Really something. So we become victors at the moment of the new birth, and that type of lifestyle can continue in victory every day as we recognize and walk in the grace. But it's not now up to us to finish the work and change ourselves through our own efforts. We enjoy the gift. Grace is a gift. How do you pay someone back for a gift? You know, a lot of people want to outspend them. You know, like, oh, they got this for me. Now I'm going to get that for them. You know, that kind of sounds like phileo love. You scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours. But God doesn't act like that. And through the process of allowing us to walk as he is and in this world, we then also have the ability to love others. But sometimes it gets all crazy. And so that verse I was mentioning in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? We got everything we got by simple believing. And now, and Paul was speaking to the Galatian church, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You know, we can't bring change by our own effort. We did not receive the Spirit by grace, and now we can work out our own righteousness by works. Your spirit was brand new. It was a new creation. It was the thing that made you, you. It completed you, body, soul, and spirit. See, that's the thing we were crying out for. That was the thing we were missing, our connection with God. Remember someone, Dr. Rural PFL, said, man is basically God hungry. And so if you were a three-part being and you became a two-part being, then you realize all of a sudden something was missing. And then people went through all sorts of gyrations all these years until Jesus could be the perfect sacrifice. With his love, it says actually grace and truth came through Jesus. See, we couldn't do it on our own. It took Jesus to bring the solution. Wow. And not only was that spirit new, but it gave us righteousness. It gave us perfection in the spirit and completeness. And it reminded me of Colossians 2:10. You're familiar with it. It's kind of cheating when you have the scriptures all written down. You notice that on the conference call, people just boom, 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 you know, like we've got all the scriptures memorized. But I love this verse. Colossians 2:10, it says, you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And with the verb tenses and all these different aspects of this word, we've come to learn that it means completely, 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 complete. Completely complete in Christ. There's nothing more that we can do to make ourselves more complete. It's not that you got baby spirit when you got born again. I mean, you may be walking not unknowledgeable of what the Spirit is, but the full potential of everything that Spirit is was born within you at the moment of the new birth. You have the ability to walk with nine manifestations. You have the ability of every promise in the Word that refers to the Spirit. But boy, if we try to produce spiritual fruit by the flesh, it ain't happening. We just got to let it go. And so what it did is reminded me, and we used to sing this song quite a bit. You know, we don't sing songs anymore. We do all this stuff. But maybe you'll remember it's called Complete in Thee. I love that song, man. Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I shall stand, what? Complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, sanctified, salvation wrought, thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Love that song, man. Yeah. Complete in thee, no more shall sin, thy grace has conquered, reign within. Thy blood shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Some of these verses we haven't even heard. Here's another one. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among the chosen I shall be at thy right hand complete in thee. It doesn't matter what you do the rest of your life. The second you got born again, I'm sorry, you know, you got your ticket punched, okay? You're going. It doesn't matter. We can't evaluate and feel guilty and condemned because of the certain types of behaviors we've either been a part of or not been a part of, okay? The reality is when Christ returns, we're all going. And no one's going to stand up there and say, you know, we're going to watch a video of your life, Al, and, man, woo! I don't look so good, dude. God's grace. Amen. Amen. God's grace. God's grace. You know, we're complete. We're made whole. We're justified because what God has done for us in the work of Jesus Christ. But man, if it turns into performance, to get in God's good graces, it don't work well. And you know what? The liar is very skilled at this. So we got to be willing to admit that by our own or strength or ability, we cannot do the will of God. And God didn't just get us born again and to say, go figure it out. But see, sometimes we lose the connection. And we got to continue to walk hand in hand and be able to hear from God. That is huge. And if we lose the ability to really get quiet on the inside and hear from God, then it just becomes so unpleasant. See, so unpleasant. We want to be strong in the Lord like Ephesians 6 talks about. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't know if you've ever read a book by Dr. James Richards called Grace, the Power to Change. He introduces another definition of grace that goes beyond just unmerited favor. He defines grace as God's ability working in man, making him able to do what he cannot do in his own ability. I love that. And this was God's purpose. This was God's will. He realizes the limitations of man. And so God in his grace and in his perspective said, you know what? I'm going to give them a portion of myself. I'm going to give to them the Spirit, and it's God's ability working in you that which you could never accomplish in your own strength. Man could never, and he can never get good enough, righteous enough, or worthy enough to change himself through his own strengths and efforts. I guess you're hearing that a lot today. This is why the law did not work. It depended on the ability of man, and it did not work. Well, thank God, God had another solution. I mean, it took all these years. I mean, can you imagine Genesis 3:15, the promise of the seed, all the way through? I don't know how many years that was, but it was a long time. But you know, God in His love, He saw that man was in a quite a difficult situation, and He had a solution. His name was Jesus. And one of the greatest offerings of all time that will never be duplicated was the sacrifice that God called Jesus to do. Well, yeah, that was Jesus. Well, that same Jesus lives in you. And Jesus, yes, He had quite a mind. He had to make it a willing sacrifice. He said, I lay down my life. We'll look at Romans chapter 5, verse 15, start there in the Phillips translation. This is just such a great section about what we have been so freely given. Verse 15 says, but the gift of God through Christ is a very different matter from the account rendered through the sin of Adam. For while as a result of one man's sin, death by natural consequence became the common lot of men, it was by the generosity of God, the free giving of the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, that the love of God overflowed for the benefit of all men. That's verses 13. Verse 15 in the Phillips translation. So I think we realize that God's grace and love outweighed the consequence of Adam's sin, but all of us had suffered through that. And every person who's born, every baby that's born, as innocent as they look, is born with a sin nature. And you can blame Eve, I guess, but really Adam was the one who did the deed, right? So in verse 17, it says, "For if one man's offense meant that men should be slaves to death all their lives, it is a far greater thing." And I think the King James says, "Much more then, it is a far greater thing that through another man, Jesus Christ, men, by their acceptance of his more than sufficient grace and righteousness, should live all their lives like kings." I think in there it says, reign in life. It's really something. Of course, the classic one is in Ephesians chapter 2. "For this many times, God's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, so as we realize and appreciate more about God's grace, receiving that which we don't deserve, then maybe we'll be more inclined to extend that grace to others. You never have a problem forgiving others when you realize what God's forgiven you for. But somehow we seem to forget that. See? And then when we're offended and someone else stomps all over our heart, well, we can't let it go. Because we want to react. We want to respond. We want to jump right in the middle button and tell them, how about extending grace? I think it talks about ministering grace for the building and strengthening and the edifying. We want to extend that grace to others, not judging them with the standard of the world, but according to the high standard that God set and he put within each of us. And this is what it is. It's the ability to love and minister with his grace, allowing us the freedom to give freely with no fear. We don't go out witnessing, go down to Ocean Beach or Balboa Park or talk to people about God because we're getting some kind of marks in heaven. We do that because we love. And that's what this whole life is about, learning how to become effective lovers. And the enemy knows the power and strength of love, right? "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," what? "Love and a sound mind." It is written in every church epistle and probably written in every book of the Bible. God has been trying to get this simple point across, even with the children of Israel going into the promised land. But they would not become convinced that God really loved them and would take care of them. And so they spent all that time wandering around. If you believe someone loves you, you will trust them because you believe they have your best interest at heart, right? Now, we don't really generally walk around as believers, those of us who have been around, and all of you guys have been around for a long time, with evil intent to screw people's lives over. Our intent is to do the best we can with the Spirit of God and God's help to really love people. That's why these guys go to Ocean Beach. They're not going down there because, you know, they want everybody's accolades and, oh, isn't that wonderful? They go down there and, you know, they're going to get a special reward. You go down and you do these things because you love people. You love people. And if we don't know how to love people, then God is the greatest lover there is. He doesn't have to love us. He just is love. See? So many verses, so many things that are written that are encouraging us, exhorting us, motivating us. In Ephesians chapter 5, I thought this was great, and we'll just close here. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. How do you do that? Next verse, walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I truly believe that as we recognize and appropriate the things that we've freely received from God, then our hearts are just tenderized. My assessment of the Christian life is the more you know about the Word, the more loving you become. Now, why would you become harder and have a more hard heart the more you understand and know the Scriptures? And yet that's exactly many times what happens. It's Christians. You know who hurts Christians? Other Christians. We can take it in the world. But boy, you know, when there's some interaction here and words are spoken or things are happening, your heart gets hurt. Man, that's why there's so many exhortations in the Bible about the greatest of these is love. See, the greatest of these is love. So, you know, we are complete in Him. We are completed in the grace of God, the gift of grace. It says we should reign in life. See, this is what Jesus Christ did. This is what we have so freely received. See, and we can't do it in our own effort. We need God. We could be down on our knees thanking God for His grace and goodness and in helping us to be those men and women that we, I think, have been called to be. So I'll pray here. Father God, thank You that You're, oh man, so amazingly kind and good to us, Father, and that You know what it takes for each and every one of us to maybe recognize or appropriate the things that have been given to us so freely, Father. I think our heart's desire is to know You, to have our eyes open, to be able to see and walk in the power and the strength that's ours truly. And I say a prayer for each and every person that's here right now, God, for their lives. And we don't know when Christ will return. It could be very short. And I'm praying it is. But in the meantime, that we keep our hearts and minds and in a place, Father, where we are not being hardened by the things of the world or the attacks of the enemy. But when we feel squeezed and pressure, love comes out, because that's the love nature that You've given to us so freely, and we are complete in the gift of grace. So we pray for this and also for any needs that are within this body of believers right here, or for those on the phone line. There's so many names and so many things that are going on in people's lives, and we see some of those on the prayer list that Jeannie sends out. So, Father, we just want to kind of collectively throw all those things up to You, and You know about those things as well as a multitude of other things. So it's only going to be by Your grace that these needs get taken care of, and You will minister to each one of these people or our country or whatever it may be in the only way You can. And so we pray and thank You, God. We love You. You are so kind and good. And thank You that we can be a reflection of that today and every day as we endeavor to walk in love, and not by our own strength, but just through the energizing of Your Spirit, that we find ourselves loving. And we realize it's not in our ability. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Bless you guys.
All right. Thanks, Barney. Well, let's.